Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Barcelona PSG match in leg one. It was a thrilling 3-2 win for Barcelona. Here's a look at how it went down.
Paris Saint-Germain hosting Barcelona for the first leg.
This is a time of year where the cream rises to the top.
Goes outside of the boot towards him. Could come for Rafinha! First blood to Barcelona in this Champions League quarterfinal. Dembele on the turn. Dembele! Sublime equalizer against his former team. Now Ruiz, could it be 2-2? Vitinha! 5 minutes is all that was needed. Swung into the heart. The header is on! Andreas Christensen straight off the bench to give Barcelona the lead again! A massive result for Xavi's men.
After this tie with a 3-2 advantage, this time they are at home. In that first leg, they overcame a really strong second half from PSG, but we're able to find the winner. Chuck, when you're looking at Barcelona, what they're going to be able to do at home, what needs to be the game plan for them?
Well, they can't get caught chasing in the wide areas, because that's how, in the second half, when PSG started to play and turned the tie completely upside down, was they were finding Dembele, they were finding Mbappe, who was overlapping on the first goal. They were playing to their strengths, which is using the speed of their wingers, Mbappe and getting Dembele isolated 1v1. If Barca are to control this tie, it's keeping possession, because they allowed PSG a little bit more freedom. Mm. They kind of sat back a little bit, and they were able to find Rafinha in behind. So for PSG, I think the idea is don't just sit back and counter, because Barcelona will keep the ball. I don't think they will.
I think it'll be similar to the first leg. It'll be surprising if it doesn't have a lot of those same hues that the first game had, because that's PSG's DNA, to make it high intensity, explosive, dynamic.
You'd
use
like
those wingers,
so,
like you say. Yeah, I mean, it's soccer. Anything can happen.
Because Mbappe was pretty quiet in that first leg.
And that's going to be the key. How do you keep him quiet again? Because if we remove Mbappe, who would you say is a better team? Like, Barca.
Yeah.
So
without a doubt,
it's going to be another game, because you don't just contain Mbappe with one player, right? You contain him with a whole group of players in zones. No, Sergio Roberto did a pretty good job in the first leg. He's out due to suspension. But I'm excited for this one, because There's a lot on the line for both of these teams, for both of these managers. An elimination tonight definitely sets the tone to the rest of the season, where there's not really much in it, with all due respect to Liga for PSG, but this is the big dance. This is what you want to be winning. And I'm excited to see a lot of that back and forth. It's staying in the ring, right? Both teams are going to be jabbing at each other back and forth throughout this entire game, and that's what I expect most out of this one.
There's a big difference, though, for PSG is they have Hakimi back from suspension.
So no Marquinhos at right back?
No.
Beraldo
at center back.
That experiment was wild.
And I think we'll see Gonzalo Ramos play the nine, because Mbappe was playing the nine because he had Asensio and Dembele, and Asensio was a ghost. Kang and Lee didn't do particularly well, so I think with those changes, that makes PSG a whole lot stronger in this second leg.
I'm also interested to see just how Luis Enrique comes back out, because, you know, he talked quite a bit before the last game. I like when a manager says, no, I'm this and I'm that. Look at what I've won. Look at my CV. I deserve that. I deserve the plaudits. And then you go out and you have a bit of a stinker and a 3-2 loss. But let me see how you come back from that. You know, very much. This is now, prove it. You said you're the Barcelona guy. You have that heritage. You're that legacy. Let me see it.
He was pretty dialed back in the pre-match press conference.
Well, yeah, because it didn't work the other way the first time.
He was humbled.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to come in with the bravado. We're at home. We're PSG. We're trying to, you know, not make Barcelona seem like they're this epic club that we can't, you know, we can't beat, right? We want to say we're here. We're looking down on Barca. We're not looking up at Barca. And it backfired because it was the slow start that crushed them, because Barcelona essentially said, we're going to be compact. We're going to give you possession, not allow Mbappe time or space. And Mbappe was central. He had no room to operate. And then we're going to find Rafinha. Lewandowski had an incredible role in this game because he checked deep often to create that space.
It worked really
well.
And
that's where Rafinha really found a lot of joy.
And the key is going to be, not a key, like it won't be the difference between win or loss, but another question mark that I have is whether Pedri will start from the get-go.
He has to,
because it's either him or Fermin. Without Sergi Roberto, you're going to couple that midfield with De Jong and Gundogan, and we saw what Pedri could do.
What a pass.
From a cameo, right?
You see so much of what they lost when he was missing, when he was injured. My God.
I mean, it's essentially with maybe like Gavi, who tore his ACL, if you had him healthy, that's your prime midfield right there. You can't get any better than that. Pedri, De Jong, Gundogan.
And then throw in Lamine Yamal, who's been a sensation. He's a kid.
Go where to see. Had to put on a school uniform the day after the last game.
Add to that Zaire Emery.
Well, Zaire Emery needs to be on the field from the start.
Why?
I think he's very good in possession for PSG, and he's good at breaking lines. He'll dribble through, kind of similar to what we see with Yunus Musa with the U.S. men's national team. He'll drive with the ball and can break out of midfield. They didn't have that when he was off the pitch. So I think
the only one that did that a little really bit was Vitinha.
Yeah, but I would even say Zaire Emery is better at that than Vitinha. And Kangin Lee was supposed to be that guy, and he underperformed.
Okay, so as you all know, I've gotten kind of addicted to the sports betting now, because this are stupid segments that we do on Friday.
And you almost hit.
Yeah.
I almost hit.
I just picture you with a newspaper slapping it against your hand at the off-track betting.
Yeah.
Come on.
So if I were to say make a wager on this game, because I was looking at some odds earlier, and it was I was going to pick PSG to win and Mbappe to score, and it was actually like decent odds. Do you think that's a good? Do you think it's a good bet?
To risk, I would go my bet personally a little bit less risky.
It's high risk, high reward.
I know.
Both teams to score.
Scared money don't make no money.
Yeah, no. Susan's like, I'm in it for the action.
Both
I ain't
teams
scared.
To score
what has
over 1.5 goals.
What's that?
Over 1.5 goals. Over 2.5 goals. Both teams to score.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
What's that, like a plus 120, though? Come on. Have a little fun.
And then pair it with the other game.
I don't think this is going to extra time.
You don't?
No, I do not think this is going to extra time. I think it'll be settled after 90
minutes. So what happened? Okay, let's say PSG scores first in this one. Suddenly the tie's even. What, like, I feel like it's game on. Like anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Anything can happen. Because I thought, because the way they came out in the second half in that first leg, I thought PSG were going to win the game.
Same. I also don't think either team that scores immediately has a massive advantage. This still feels like something that will go through the full 90. You know, if PSG score first, all right, you're even, 3-3 on aggregate. It's, like you said, game on. Even if Barca scores first, PSG have the tools to mount a comeback.
I want to see PSG press and play high and aggressive, because in the game where, in the second half in this first leg, Barca were pressing high and essentially they got some turnovers and that's how the second goal came off of a Beraldo turnover. Mm-hmm. They win the ball back and then Pedri plays an incredible ball over. But if they can play high and put pressure on Barca in the same way, I think they'll be able to generate more chances.
Also, shot at redemption for Donnarumma.
Oh, gosh, yeah, he had a shocker.
You want to win the Champions League, you have to have a good game. You can't have a goalkeeper who is... You can point fingers on every goal that you conceded and put the Euro win for Italy aside, because I don't want Italians coming after me. Donnarumma for the price tag. I don't, because you got to give him credit where credit's due.
They're going to clip that context. They're going to cut that context out of the clip, just so you know.
For PSG,
but you're not high on him, right? Are you high on Donnarumma?
Who's high on Donnarumma?
You don't think he's a good goalkeeper?
Right now,
he's got a lot to prove. But he also did. He had a makeshift backline. Not that that's a massive excuse for the mistakes he's made. But
but it hasn't.
Maybe there's a settling.
How is he going to save that?
No, that one. This one though, from two of the three goals. In your inside of your six, he's what, 7'5"? Like, you gotta be consistent.
No one's fact checked that.
He's a center.
You gotta be commanding.
Actually, that's
Wemby. Goalkeeper.
That was
and
Wemby.
For someone who had so much potential, I remember when I was like in high school when Donnarumma was younger than me, and when I was in high school, he was up and coming, like the next goalkeeper, being put in the Milan net when he was like 17 years old.
That was the Donnarumma era.
That was way before the Donnarumma era. The Donnarumma was when he had admitted that he was going to PSG, that he was taking the bag. That was like 4 years after he became a professional. And for the price tag, he needs to win them games. He needs to be one of those goalkeepers that win you games, that puts you in a Champions League semifinal. So it's still in the balance. And those errors can just be anecdotal. If he has a good game today at Montjuic.
Do you think he'll have a good game today?
I don't know. Ask him. I don't know.
All right, great analysis.
I don't know.
I'm gonna use that.
Is his chance to have a good game for redemption?
Yeah, it's great.
What's your bet for like I don't
Did
know.
He sleep well
I don't
today?
Know. I don't know.
Ask him.
Oh.
How's he feeling? Yeah, I don't know.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.